This is the tax update for the week commencing 1st July, and I'm Derek Allen. We've got four items this week, and as usual, if you are using any of these items, you need to check the position, because while every effort is made to ensure that the information is correct, tax changes rapidly, and this update is designed to help you cope with rapid change in an efficient update mechanism. We begin with a decision of the first-tier tribunal, which is interesting for two reasons. The judge, Peter Kempster, criticised the HMRC review process, saying that the reasons given by the reviewing officer supporting the HMRC position were inadequate and frankly unacceptable. The case concerned whether or not zero rating, and therefore the recovery of input VAT, was available when a pub which had contained a manager's flat was converted from its business use and non-residential into two semi-detached properties. HMRC felt obliged to impose a decision of the VAT tribunal which basically said that because the pub manager's flat had been incorporated into each of the emerging dwellings, zero rating was not available, and this came from Callum Vale Limited. Whereas there was a Court of Appeal decision which looked at the do-it-yourself builder scheme with recovery under Section 35, the Jacobs decision delivered in 2005, which does set legal precedent, which had looked at the interpretation of Note 9 of Group 5 of Schedule 8, and basically interpreted it that so long as an additional dwelling was created, zero rating was available. Accordingly, the appeal succeeded, and the company developing the pub into two residential properties, Alexandra Countryside Investments Limited, was able to recover the VAT which it had incurred on the development of over £14,000. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes along with links to the full judgment, should you wish to read this. The second item today is that HMRC has published guidance on overseas workday relief. It is 14 pages in length and would be relevant for non-domiciled clients who are working overseas and who wish to take advantage of the remittance basis. The third item today is a reminder that the filing deadline for reporting benefits in kind by employers is 6th July, by which time you need to send forms P9D and P11D to HMRC, because if you're late, HMRC have demonstrated they're very inclined to impose a penalty. The final piece of news today is that Agent Update 36 has been published, and at 12 pages, it's an easy read with a lot of useful information. This particular edition contains a lot of trumpet blowing by HMRC about how successful they have been in their campaign to clamp down on tax avoidance, and it summarises some of the recent cases which HMRC have won. They're also reporting on developments in real-time information and obligation imposed on employers. And there is also an update on the guidance within the Inland Revenue Manual on the difference between capital and revenue expenditure. And there's a link to the new published guidance, which at 23 pages I recommend that every practitioner should read. So, to summarise, from your client's perspective, my recommendations are first that if you've a client who has been denied a recovery of input tax on a self-build or a conversion of non-residential building to a residential property, you should consider submitting a protective claim based on the decision in Alexandra Countryside Investments Limited. The second point is to ask you, do you know enough about your clients, and in particular, have you established their domicile? Because a failure to advise a non-domiciled client on how to take advantage of arrangements could result in that client suing you. And the third is a recommendation to read the new guidance on the difference between capital and revenue expenditure, as that's essential reading for every accountant. Thanks very much for listening.